Yeah. We're come home. Uh-huh. I'm gonna tell you the truth. All right, folks. Good morning. Good morning. Hey, you're listening to Republic of Texas Radio. It is not NPR. Fair and balanced. Is that it? No, that's somebody else. Those are the other criminals. National Public Radio came into light a few weeks ago when somebody kind of, well, does it even matter? You know, some of that stuff, it's all nonsense. The whole liberal ship is blowing apart. Oh, my God. Is that real? I don't know. I guess it's real. But the truth is, you're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN. RepublicBroadcasting.org. And, well, we're independent, right? You know, as far as a skew goes, yeah, I'm sure there's a skew at some point. Everybody's got a little bit of a bend at some point. But I'll tell you what, I find great comfort in the fact that not everybody on this network agrees with me. That's kind of cool. You know, some of them support that orange guy, Trump. And, you know, not that I totally hate Trump, just don't trust him. You know, but we've talked about that a lot. And I don't think he's a solution for the future. Neither is Joe Biden. Did you get that memo? Okay, that's a longer introduction, and maybe we'll get into it a little bit more. But the important part now is, how are you today, Alan? Welcome to the show. Welcome to your show, our show, whatever.
A little drawn breath, guy. That's about all I can say. Hey, RBN friends and family out there. Yeah, it's, what is today, the 28th? Yeah, the 28th,
4/28/24. Hour one of the show. And, you know, Alan and I talked yesterday a little bit about the normal nonsense that's going on in the world today. And it is normal nonsense, right? You know, what do you got? But some of it's especially, well, interesting. You know, we've been watching this three-ring circus they call the news feeds, and it's coming from everywhere. And whether you feel that it's intentional or accidental, you know, that's really, you know, well, an opinion that you get to figure out yourself. You can listen to lots of things. The NPR controversy is very close to my heart. I didn't know what I was going to talk about or kind of lead with today until I started looking through this whole thing. And you know what? All the news channels, they're telling us that NPR is a house of cards. Oh, no! They're going to defund NPR. Oh, no! I've been trying to get NPR defunded for years now. So I should be very happy. And I am, kind of. You know, is their ship falling apart by, you know, accidental discharge of one of their editors-in-chief who said, well, that they're very biased and bigoted and they produce content to prove their point and don't produce content that doesn't prove their point. Maybe, right? Maybe that is. But people already knew NPR was a load of horse dung, except for the listeners of NPR, because I used to listen to that. It's probably 20 plus years ago, but I did. So I understand the mind control. And oh, okay. I'm sorry. Marketing. You know, are they're kind of synonymous? Synonymous? How do you say that word? Sorry, Alan. I get caught up when I talk about National Public Radio. You never really listened to them, did you?
No, very, very little, if any, you know. But once again, back in the day, I really didn't listen to a lot of stuff. You know, if I caught anything, I'd listen to Art Bell late at night. You know, that's you know, I got to the point where I was, you know, I never really listened to music, and then I started listening to talk radio, and you know, the blabber jabber, you know, the same thing, you know, ABC, CBS, NBC. And they used to be competing, or at least they gave us the appearance of being competing networks. You know, they would have different, you know, stories. You know, one of them would try to scoop a story. And then I got to noticing that, you know, you could flip from ABC to CBS to NBC, and all you found was the same story being said by a different mouth. You know, and I started going, it's like, wow, you know, what the hell is this? You know, and then of course Fox came on, fair and balanced, blah blah blah. You
know? I love that.
And then about what was it, 2006? I found them shortly after they came on the satellite system. I miss RT America so much
because I know,
man, you know, and you know, I actually, one of the reporters on there one time, like I said, I recorded this. It just amazed me. The reporter, you know, he had a guest on, and the guy turns and he goes, I don't trust everything y'all report. And the announcer, one of their main anchors, he looked at him and he stopped and he goes, well, let's just clear up a question that most of the world has right now. Yes, we do have our own agenda, and let me tell all of y'all out there listening, so does every other media organization on this planet.
Yeah, and I'd say that, you know, that's kind of true with Republic Broadcasting to a certain extent, except they don't tell you what to do, right? You know, they bring people on that they feel are, I don't really know what the criteria is, right? You know, because I've heard so much stuff, and there's the criteria of John Stadtmiller. Remember Shalom Tawabi, whatever his name was?
Yep.
Shalom Tawabi. Hisham Talawi. Yeah, remember him? He used to be really fun. I didn't really agree with him too much, and I hung up on him where I shut it off a lot. But it was amazing that the breadth of different dialogues that they don't exist over on the free and balanced and all things considers that don't consider anything. Today we suffer from, well, was it control, Alan? How do they say that? Controlling the narrative, I guess, is. And I'm not saying anything new to everybody, but one of the big issues today, right, is all the wackadoos over at the college campuses. And let me tell you something, folks, and you already know this again, so why am I even telling you? They've been protesting at colleges since forever. You remember when they were protesting the Vietnam War? Well, I don't. I wasn't around during that time. But they were, right? They were saying war is bad, and the adults in the room were going, oh, look at those wackadoo kids all having sex and looking funny and doing this and that and thinking that war is bad. Well, we've got to fight them communists. Well, now they're all communists. And that didn't actually work. Today, they use the word, right? They control the narrative, right, Alan? They say, oh, it's anti-Semitism. And you go, what? What are you talking about? These kids they don't even know what an anti-Semitism is, right? But maybe they do. But I find that fascinating. I want to call them tiddlywinks over at the colleges, but I really do respect for the fact that they're at least giving it a semi-biased worldview of saying, perhaps we shouldn't kill all the people in Gaza. Now, that's a great start. What do you think, Alan? Is it a great start? Is it just more nonsense? Are these kids going to become, I don't know. Any thoughts on that?
Not to sound uncaring, Steve, but that's halfway across the world from where my community, where my life takes place, you know.
Okay.
Can we police the world? Can we tell the world? Can we make them live by our perceived morals? No, you know, different religions, different lifestyles, different parts of the world, different existences. As long as you don't screw with me, slaughter yourselves. I there's not a damn thing I could or should be able to do to stop it. If that's the way you want to live, you do it. You come over into my backyard, and you're going to find your worst freaking enemy.
And we go into their backyard, and we attack them and do atrocities over there while staying, I'm not really doing it. I paid Jimmy to go over there to beat you up. hey, you got a problem with Jimmy, then whatever. But, you know, global politics is fascinating. I just wonder what these kids are going to be thinking in the future, right? You know, right now they just know the polarity issue. They pretend or they perceive themselves as to standing for Gaza, right? And then they're aligning themselves, allegedly, they're aligning themselves with Hamas, right? And they're going, well, yeah, I'm going to dress like a Hamas. And yeah, whoa, oh my God, I'm a transvestite for Hamas. And you go, man, learn the history before you do it. I mean, standing for not killing a mass group of people, that's one thing. I've seen protests through time, Alan. You know, I remember the whole invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan, and, you know, being in San Francisco at the time, the huge, huge crowds that took to the streets, you know, I don't remember, 20, 30,000, maybe more people just filling the streets. And I'm kind of like going, oh, man, it's already too late. You know, last year this was decided. Remember when they started talking? That was the time you should have been out, right? And I was kind of anti-war, and I still am anti-war. But they came out too late. But they came out at college time, right, when school just let off, and they harnessed the energy of hormones to get people out on the street, and then they pushed them out there, and everybody went, yeah, we support peace. Oh, my God. And what did it do? Yeah, did it stop the war in Afghanistan? No. Did it stop the war, you know, in Iraq? No. Right? And then you go, but we had to fight them. But I don't think anybody on Republic Broadcasting is going to say we had to go into Iraq, we had to go into Afghanistan. Well, maybe they will. I don't know. Dave in San Francisco, you know, what do you think? You know, was that a righteous war? I hear you calling in every once in a while. I get a good chuckle. Don't call in. You don't have to call our show. Anyways, but I think that these activists, I don't know, they're going to have an interesting future being demonized right now, Alan. And, well, you know, this whole you're anti-Semitic because this country called Israel that came from nothing, you know, that was born of the United Nations, right? They took land from other people. As a globalist body, the United Nations created that entity and backed that entity. Sure, the U.S. was the puppeteer for the United Nations in the early years. Now it's the tail that wags the dog. Or do I get that wrong? Kind of long-winded today, Alan.
Well, you know, Steve, you know, it's so odd because, you know, they say, well, Israel's in the Bible, you know, it's biblical, you know, it's like, but you know, in the Bible, you know, you heard the term Israelite, but you never heard the term Israeli, and you will never hear an Israeli call themselves an Israelite, you know, the contradictions are just so crazy. And Steve, you're saying that you don't believe that we should have gone and invaded Grenada, because, you know, they had a suitcase nuke, and they were going to try to sneak it across our northern border.
I hear you. They're all trying to sneak across our border, but it's okay now, you know, because, you know, I don't know why it's okay now, because they say so. You know, that great replacement theory is going to be, I don't know, we delve into that. It's, oh, it's a crazy future, Alan. It's frustrating if you look at it, you know, piece by piece, but, you know, I don't even know about looking at the hopium. Oh, God, I didn't tell you. I've got some hopium. Do you want to hear it? Might not be hope for the America, but I do have it.
Well, go ahead, Steve. You know, a little bit of hopium, like any other drug used responsibly, is not necessarily a terrible thing. But when it encompasses your whole life, and that is your whole life, then it becomes one of the most insidious drugs there is.
okay, I got this via email, and I saw it, and I was just, you know, taken back at how much hope and love for the future, you know, that I found. On Friday, May 10th, Rebel News and Rumble are hosting Donald Trump Jr. in Toronto. You can join other powerful voices to send a message to Justin Trudeau that the world is watching Canada and censorship has gone too far. For only $30, Alan, you can log into the internet and watch Donald Trump Jr. and a whole bunch of other people say, you know, Trudeau, bad boy. Oh, crap. You know, I don't know what to say to that. It's like this, for one thing, you know, okay, if you like the person, will you like the son? Not necessarily, but I don't necessarily even like Trump. Didn't like his TV show, didn't necessarily like him before, didn't really care about that too much. Alan's told me a little bit about him, that it's a little bit, you know, weary from his days in Arkansas with the Hillary Clinton crowd. But his son, why should he be propped up on a soapbox? Does he not fall far from the tree? What do you think? You like that guy? I know what you think. Go ahead and answer it anyway.
Genetics does not necessarily instill intelligence or morality or anything else. It doesn't give you a name. I don't know, Steve. The whole world is just bat crap insane for the most part. I know there are some of us out there who've figured it out. You know, Steve, I keep hearing people, you know, talk more and more, you know, about pattern recognition. You know, and maybe they come to that realization when they come to the realization that, wow, maybe Trump really isn't the savior of the world, you know, and because, you know, you finally start going back and looking and figuring out, you know, what he's done in the past, what the patterns have been, and you start connecting those dots and, you know, seeing the World Wide Web for what it is, you know, and as you start backing up these nodes, you know, and start connecting all the little spider strings into the web, you start figuring out, it's like, wow, that's not a really beautiful spider web. It's kind of an asymmetrical web. And let me see. I'm backing up a little bit further, and it's like, yep, it's looking more and more. Let me see. What spider has a really asymmetrical, nightmarish web? Oh, it's a black widow. It means as I'm backing up, connecting all these patterns together, my back's getting closer and closer, and somewhere behind me there's a giant black widow spider with some lethal fangs, and you kind of start to understand that, you know, we're in a lot of trouble.
We are in a lot of trouble. You know, I get that little bit. And, I don't know. Sometimes you just got to look at it and go, oh, crap. You know, one of the things that I spend my time doing, you know, I don't know. I spend my time doing this radio show. Futility? Maybe. I think it's good for my soul to actually do radio and broadcasting, and if I dare do say, activism, even though I hate the word, I find that I hate myself for hating all these words that I hate. Things, you know, go on in my soul, screams, goes, he said the word and it came out of my mouth. But you guys don't care about that, you know. But everybody's caught in a web of some kind. Well, is it? Or are we stretching out? So I did the hand counting thing, right, several months back, right? The Republican Party, I'm a member of the Republican Party of Texas, and that pains me a lot, I think. And I thought about switching. I was going to go along with Dave Kopeck and join the Constitution Party. I think that's what he's doing, just because of it. Right? And I'm going, oh, crap. How do I do that? And I went to their website, and I clicked, and I go, do I want to do that? I don't know. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to vote anyways. And then, you know, these clowns locally, right, they're not really clowns. They're actually people that care. they managed to push the local Gillespie County Republican Party to a point where they had to hand count ballots. And we've talked about that before. I do support that. I don't know if I support democracy. I do believe that it's kind of like two wolves and a sheep voting on who's for dinner. That's the best way of putting it. But if we do get two wolves and a sheep voting for who's for dinner, I'd like it to be at least an honest count. That would be really neat, because when you imagine a wolf and a sheep eat the other wolf, you know, he's, well, who voted for that? Right? Well, when both, yeah, whatever. So when they actually got that passed, Alan, I found myself in a place of put up or shut up. You're already involved. You should support that and at least figure out what it was like. And it was great. I'm going to have to classify it as one of the best events of my life. I don't know if that's going too far, but it was fun, you know, going over there and working with several other people trying to vet the actual ballots and count them accurately, and having somebody watch you, and you watch the watcher, and the watcher's watcher, and then you do the Beb Harris thing. Beb Harris is an activist, or was an activist, black box voting, and she woke me up to the fact that voting is, well, problematic would probably be the biggest word I could come up with. But at least we've addressed a little issue here in Fredericksburg, Texas. And I saw, and I've talked to somebody yesterday that kind of brought that back, and they were counting ballots with me. And, well, not with me, with somebody else, you know, but they were doing the ballot counting thing too. Said that was just an incredible experience. And I didn't have a bunch of political conversations with them or anything. We just worked to figure out the facts. And no, Alan, the chain of custody was broken a lot of times throughout that, you know, GOP primary. You know, I could name them numerous times. So it wasn't necessarily an accurate thing, but maybe it was one step further. I don't know. You know, that's just, yeah. There's my hope.
I can remember listening to Bev Harris one night. She was driving around trying to keep chain of custody, you know, and she was following a couple of guys named Butch and Hoppy. She was following around because they were going around picking up the ballots from all the balloting locations around the county and everything, and these guys kept trying to lose her, and I think they finally did end up losing them. So she has no idea, you know, where the ballots, you know, ended up before they got to the main ballot counting place. It was quite a little adventure she was on that night.
Right. And you wonder if they're trying to control, or they are controlling the narrative when it comes to voting. oh, wow, I just looked at me. You wonder if they're controlling the narrative. Sorry, I got distracted, folks. When they focus on the counting and the machines, right? When there's got to be, well, Bev Harris kind of pointed to it. It's chain of custody things. You know, this early voting, this, okay, you go over to the Doobie Doobie store, and they set up a whole bunch of voting things, and we've got people that sit there and find your name, and you get there, give them your ID. In Texas, you give them your ID. They find you on the thing. They qualify. They disqualify you. You go in. I've been disqualified, actually, for voting, but then that was before in California. That's another story. But we go through this whole thing, and then we vote, and everything's secure. As I go through the door and I get my secret squirrel ballot and I squiggle on it, and then I put it in directly into the slotted box, and then it sits somewhere for, well, until whenever, and then it gets counted somewhere, And then I get the results from some news organization on how, well, the election went. And there's no chain of custody. And then you start talking to the normies at the Republican Party, the Democrat Party, maybe even the Constitutional Party or the Libertarian Party. The Libertarian Party, oh, God, what a hell of a conversation. Those guys are kind of crazy, but I love them. but the fact is, chain of custody, they go, well, we can't fix that. Well, why not? You know, I mean, the United Nations, they do some kind of chain of custody thing for third world countries. And is that honest? Or is that perceived honest things? Maybe a little of both. What do you think, Alan? You know, because we've been showed that before in the past that, you know, well, go ahead.
UN election observers, about as useful as UN observers were over in Rwanda when the Tutsis and the Hutus were slaughtering each other.
Yeah,
I remember watching that and seeing blue helmets off of the side while people were running through the streets hacking people to pieces with machetes. And UN observers were just standing there watching, taking the whole thing in, just having a great time.
Yeah, I get it, you know. But I think they manipulate the elections beforehand, maybe on the back end. There's different processes that they can use to put in place to manage one piece of the election. By the way, folks, RBN has experienced a little bit of a, well, weather condition over there. We could lose power at some point, so hang in there. You know, that blew over us just a while ago, about an hour ago, I think it was, maybe 2 hours ago, Sam. So it may clear, and you will have a cloudy-ish day throughout the day. So hang in there, folks, in case we lose power. We will be back shortly. So the United Nations, I started laughing as I was talking about how the United Nations was helping to secure elections worldwide. You know, they'll do stupid things like, you know, well, they got armed guards out in front of the, you know, polling places to make sure that nobody's afraid to get in there. They dye their finger blue. But the propaganda, I think, Alan, goes on before that. They tell the populace who they can vote for and who they can't vote for. Manipulation is so deep on this planet, you know, we call Earth, or maybe they call it Beaky Beaky Do Beaky. I don't know anymore. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's quite an insane little world, Steve. Yeah, you know, I don't know where we're going. You know, voting. Yeah, I mean, is it viable? You know, maybe in a very local election. But, you know, are you talking national elections? It's like, well, we hand counted our ballots. We know ours are right, you know. But then what happens to them when they get sent to the central polling location from your county and then from the state, you know, into the national, you know, whichever country it goes to count our national ballots? You know, I think I've heard it's gone to Spain or somewhere like that, and they count them in Spain.
It's crazy, and you ask yourself, why do they do that? And then you go, man, why did I ask why? You know, because you're not going to get a straight answer. You know, NASA did come up with that. Never a straight answer. You know, so why is Spain owned so much of Texas? Why? Huh, there you go, Steve, asking why. Republic of Texas Radio. That's the end of the first little bit, and we'll be back after the messages. In my head, the camera runs circles till the morning comes. When it does, I know it's on. It's you and I. Couldn't miss it for the sun. I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk. Real people, because you can handle the truth.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
So excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Republic of Texas Radio, hey, second half of the first hour, hike! Just kidding. TikTok was one of India's most popular apps until it was banned in 2020, reads a BBC article. You know, it's pretty funny. It was a lesson that might unfold if the U.S. ban goes ahead. Oh, this is pure, beautiful nonsense. Is it nonsense, Alan? TikTok, does it rule the world? Should we stop them from taking our kids' brains and ours? I don't know. What do you think?
I can't really comment too much, Steve. The only TikTok I know is what an alarm clock used to do sitting on your bedstead. Remember when you used to have to wind them up, and it sat there all day and all night going TikTok, TikTok, TikTok until it went.
Ring. Yeah, but you haven't Twittered either. Oh, sorry, X'd, you know, because it's now X. How can you do that? Well, that's a TikTok. Let's go back to TikTok. I'm sorry. You know, you've been hearing all that nonsense about the Chinese are taking over people's souls with their TikTokian thing, and, you know, we've got to fight back for the children. No.
as far as I'm concerned, Steve, I've watched the internet suck the soul out of people.
Yeah. Good enough. Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. You know, this article tends to go on and validate your point of view, you know, but BBC, I guess this, let's see, the name of this article, in case you want to look it up, it says, "The Ghost of India's TikTok. What happens when social media app is banned?" Dun, dun, dun. What happened, and I'll distill this whole thing down for you because, well, there's a bunch of nonsense coming out of the BBC, which is fair and balanced. Oh, no, no, hold on. All things are considered with the BBC. Oh, damn, crap. Oh, we're socialist propaganda. Yeah, that's it. We're socialist. But, you know, the BBC is whatever. It's paid for by the British people. Great Britain, Ungreat Britain, whatever you want to call it.
London Television, yes.
Yeah. You know, they can bust in your door and tax you if you have a television because you have to pay a TV tax to pay for the BBC. You know, they literally have armed people running around, Britain, you know, collecting money from people. No, I was there in 91. Maybe it's changed. Maybe they don't do that. But they walk around with clipboards, Alan. It's like what we always say, fear the man with the clipboard. And they look in any open windows, and they trespass just to look to see if you have a TV, if you don't pay the TV tax. And then they charge you per TV to produce drivel like this. And they're saying that TikTok was banned, right? back in 2020. And it's eerie, Alan. Do you know it's TikTok is eerie? Now, TikTok is, well, nothing special. You know, it's kind of less than most, right? Alan, how do I explain it to you? Imagine that anybody can record a 3 to 15 second clip, and it will autoplay as you scroll your rectangle. So I record 15 seconds of me just making a face and going, blah, and then, you know, I post that to my TikTokie, and then it's there. And then everybody goes, oh, my God, Steve's a star. He's an influencer. He went, blah, and then they share it, and maybe they put some words on top of it, and all of a sudden I've become an instant sensation, and that's it. All you need is 15 seconds to make $50 billion, right? At least that's the theory. But I could do stuff as well as, like, plant a seed in the ground. Well, India, it was happening like that in theory, or as we're being told by the BBC, that there was a grassroots movement of off-grid and natural people posting unique and interesting content, right? There was 200 million users in India posting to TikTok. How many people are in India? Isn't that in the billions?
A billion and a half, something like that, yeah.
A billion and a half, so they got a couple people, right? Less than 1% of their population was using TikTok. But they were communicating. And they were saying, this is how I water my chicken or whatever they, I don't know what they were saying. But the article goes on to say, and all of a sudden, the evil government went ahead and stopped TikTok. Why did they stop TikTok? India is fighting China, right? They have differences. And they share a border. It's kind of, there's all sorts of stuff. And I've never really looked into it because I'm not India and China. And there's just so much to do. But anyways, they didn't want any of the Chinese influence because it is a China-owned company. And, well, it's owned by a Chinese guy who's a slave of the Chinese government. Come on, guys. Let's grow up here, right? You know, but is Facebook or Google or Microsoft any much, is that much better? The BBC article goes on, and I'll let you in here in a second there, Alan. The BBC article goes on and says, and after TikTok went away, all the influencers, oh, God, Alan, you know, all those beautiful influencers, they had to do things like go over to Facebook and Instagram to post their content, and it never felt the same. It felt, you know, dark, and they felt like they lost their home over at TikTok. They're making more money, but, you know, it just feels different, Alan. Oh, my God. It's for the influencers.
Taking away our freedoms for perceived safety. Yeah, it's just more the encroachment. I mean, you know, I don't use the crap, never have, never will. You know, everyone uses it. Even I use it in certain ways, but I don't directly interact with any of this crap, you know, if I can at all help it. I know, you know, if I sit down and watch television, hell, if I listen to RBN, I'm using the technology, but not personally in my life. It's not in my life, you know, in a personal way. I can't just click on and dissolve myself into the internet world. No, I've never done that, Steve. I've sat on the outskirts and watched it. Still can't understand it. It still just amazes me. But
yeah. I guess the point that I'm kind of getting at is, you know, TikTok's influencing your kids, right? Facebook's influencing your kids on purpose. I mean, we live in a punch bowl. Okay, here's the we word. The world is surrounded by a punch bowl of nonsense, right? And even like you, Alan, you try to stay away from it, right? You don't have, never have had a blah, blah, blah account, this or that account, you know, but you do have contact with corrupt people that have been there. And hey, boy, I'm on the radio. People that have been on the internet, like Andy, right? You know, he's been corrupted, for the lack of a better term. You know, he listens to talk radio. He doesn't do Facebook, so I guess that's a... I mean, we can look over an Andy and say the positives and the negatives if we're talking about the digital Andy, right? He has a cell phone, bad Andy. He doesn't have a Facebook, good Andy. He doesn't have a Twitter, good Andy. His Google account's messed up, good Google. I don't know. It's a son of a bitch. And then those people that exist around you, Alan, you know, they're all screwed up in the digital world. Your family, but like even, let's say, Dorothy and Roscoe, when they'd come over, they weren't involved in that digital world, and they were still kind of a little bit off the kilter where it comes to control and that manipulation. I don't know.
But at least they were still existing in their local world around them, which is what we used to have to do. The only thing you really have control of, you know, to any point, is your local environment, where you live, how you live, the people you live with, the people you interact with. You know, now you can interact with anyone and everyone. You know, your best friend can be in Zhenxuan, China. You know, oh yeah, I talk to him all the time. Yeah, he's a great guy. Or have you really you met him and shook his hand? Well, no. So you can't even tell me that it's not a Jewish yenta on a penthouse on Fifth Avenue, you know, with a voice changer. You know, just getting in your stuff, and you know, I don't know, Steve. I am very alone because I still try to live in my local environment, and my local environment isn't local anymore.
Yeah, well, I'm just arguing the fact that it hasn't been local for some time. The manipulation has been, the Roundup thing is kind of one of the big kickers, right? The pesticides. The local farmers around him here, you know, they, well, for most of them, they've never even turned on a computer, right? But they, every year, they go to the Ag Extension building and learn how to squirt chemicals all over their land. And you go, what? And then they buy, oh my God, have you ever seen it when weed season comes out? The stores are filled with Roundup, right? And they're going, oh yeah, they crazy liberals think this stuff's bad. And they grab a glass and drink it. Frustrating.
Yeah. You go down to your local Ag Extension, you take some classes, they're called applicator's license, you get your applicator's license, and that allows you to go down and buy very dangerous chemicals, you know, 2,4-D, you know, half of Agent Orange, you know, paraquat, you know, et cetera, you know, and they tell you, it's like, well, now that you know how to apply it properly, you're safe.
You're safe. You're safe. Wahoo! License to kill. Hey, we got a call on the line. Haven't heard from her for a while, so let's just go to Lauren. Well, good morning, Lauren.
Hey, guys. I just calling to cheer you up.
Yeah, we not cheered, huh? Okay. What do you got?
Well, I'm just saying we're winning. We have all the power, all the control.
Okay.
Pardon?
I said nobody. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, you keep hearing the same thing. It's like saying, well, we have to breathe air every day. And people say, well, that's boring. I heard that before. But we still have chemtrail planes up there. I mean, I think Tennessee just passed a bill. You can't spray that crap over us. You can't, you know what I mean? People are starting to pay attention to it, but in the end, it's about exposing the truth and then overturning the problem. But we have to acknowledge what the truth is, and the bottom line is we're not doing it right. I mean, we are getting the fruit of our hand. We poison our children. They turn up autistic. We take shots for COVID. Now we have turbo cancer. We have turbo CJD, Creutzfeldt-Jakob, mad cow, blood clots, amyloid clots, all this stuff. And now what are they doing? Coming at you again with another round of shots for, we are going to give you RNA and rewrite your DNA and make you safe from cancer. I mean, how long do we keep buying their lies? The schools are graduating people that can't read, can't write. We're in the 40th percentile in the international math and science test. I mean, you know, we're stupid. We're arrogant. We pay attention to stupid nonsense. So, I mean, how hard is it to take your phone from your kid? Your kid shouldn't have a phone.
So
you know what I mean?
Which part of this is supposed to cheer us up? I mean, I agree with what you're saying. What are we supposed to do? Take our kids out of school, right? You know, grow our own food? What are we supposed to do? Stop paying our taxes? What are we supposed to do? Stop driving? Get rid of our driver's license?
You don't need a driver's license. I hear you.
But each one of those things, people have a hard time with that. And then there are these super gurus that have it all down and that live in different countries and will tell you how to exist in the United States of America if you just send $49.95 to them. And then they were going to tell you the truth about being a citizen of your state, let's say, instead of a citizen of the... I'm cynical, but you knew that before you called.
And that was my question. I just tried to figure out where the happiness is coming from. No, listen, you got to be able to have fun.
I am having fun. I'm having a lot of fun.
I know you are, but... It's a cynical fun. What I'm saying is there's no power in cynicism. There's all the power.
Well, is there not? I'm not sure that there isn't. I'm not sure that there is no power to cynicism. Being cynical about things and, you know, I agree with all those points that you make, you know, Lauren, you know, about taking your kids out of school. I agree with that, you know, but it gets more complicated. You've done it. Got it. But there are other people that they're caught in the trap and they don't know how to get out of the trap.
Listen, I hear this all the time, and that's why I'm trying to tell you how to get out of the trap. And Kelby Smith is not out of the country. And a lot of people...
I'm not talking about Kelby Smith necessarily.
Well, no, I know.
You know, I like Kelby Smith. I like what he said. He seemed very honest when I talked to him before. There's been a lot of people that have talked that same direction, and I don't want to point fingers one direction, unless I do, right? But there are definitely people there that are dangerous, and even Kelby Smith would agree with that.
Okay, and just like there's doctors that are dangerous, but that doesn't mean that the truth isn't the truth and the solution isn't the solution. My point is that it's up to each and every one of us to seek out that truth and then to walk in it. We're slaves because we want to be. When you say, oh, people can't take their kids out of school, well, you can, you just don't want to. You can find a neighbor lady that didn't take the COVID shot that lost her job. You can find people in the community. You can find good food at your local farmers. Go 30 minutes outside of your town. You will find Amish. You will find farmers. You will find people that will be happy to sell you directly the food that you need. You know, what I'm saying is we have the power to change things. And when people say, well,
they don't want to, they really don't want to. They want to vacation. They want to put their kids in. They want the part-time job. They want the government to take care of their kids. They want everything to be great. They want a wife that's beautiful and that'll let them do whatever, or a husband. You know, they've been programmed. And
that's my point, though. We are getting what we're doing. So we're behaving exactly like what you're saying. Now, the good news is we can change that. I'm saying is in America itself, you've got 90% of the people are just jackasses. They don't know anything. They don't want to know anything. They're busy.
I agree with you. Yeah.
They know, you know, so, what I like what Ted, he says, what's her name? Buttock. You know, the Kardashian, Kim Kardashian's buttock. I mean, this is the topic of discussion. We're a bunch of morons. So what I'm saying is it's fair for all these brown criminals to come here and prey on you. Lakin Riley's murderer was set free. Oh, there's not enough room in the inn. And the people in this country are putting up with this crap. Kyle Rittenhouse was run down in the street, damn near killed the boy. And then they charge him and keep charging people off there. And we, the people, are putting up with it. Now, I understand when you're saying, oh,
they are. They sure are putting up with it. And they're not even seeing the truth. You know, and that's...
This is my point. So, wait, so what is the purpose of putting your children in school so you can have another generation like the generations of our mothers and fathers and grandfathers and all World War II people, oh, World War II, you know, we won. Oh, my God, seriously? The same people that did that, killing Christians. German Christians,
we won.
White Christians killing white Christians.
Now we can
be
safe.
You got some Ukrainians, because the Ashkenazi Jews want to go home, and they're going to sit there and take all your money, take all your weapons, and take, now they want your sons and daughters. Here we go. And the stupid Christians talking about support Israel, support Israel. When that's, you know,
support them.
Well, no, but again, if we believe
support Israel,
because I know, Alan, I know for you, the Bible, you're like, oh, look at this book, and, you know, it's got so much bad stuff in it. But the point is, it's the truth, and it's the history, and it's how this place works. The people that are doing this to you serve Satan. They know who the boss is. They're the ones that kick Jesus out of the schools, and you don't hear the Ten Commandments. Because those two things give you all the power that you ever need. And you have
all I know. All I know is if I had a restaurant, I would not serve Satan. I'd say, Satan, you go back. You don't come through the door. Hey, thanks for the call, Lauren. I really appreciate it. You know, you did put a smile on my face for sure. You know, we agree with on a lot of points and disagree with others, and we can, you know, whatever. Okay. Hey, so, you know, what Lauren said was a little, she was talking a little bit about Ukraine. And sorry to skip subjects, but I'm not, Alan. Well, did you have anything that you wanted to add to that? We've kind of gone over a lot of that all before. What do you think, Alan?
I'll just say that, you know, every now and then the justice system actually does work, Steve. Harvey Weinstein is no longer in prison.
Ah, that's a hard one to think about. I did see that. The Me Too guy, you know, let's talk about that a little bit next hour. But Lauren brought up the Ukraine, right? And here's a story that came in, right? So the Ukrainian conflict is being played out. The United States, like, funds the hell out of Ukraine to fight the Russians, right? But they don't tell you why or what that's all about or give you a historical context of the whole thing. But now, right, all the people, do you remember the early days of the war, Alan, where everybody ran out of Ukraine? Right, you know, they ran, they drove, they did whatever, they tried to close the border. There were, you know, pictures of people running across the borders and getting beat up with batons. Did you see any of that, Alan?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So now Poland and Lithuania said that they're prepared to help Ukraine authorities return the men that are subject to military conscription to the country. Meat grinders calling, little guys. They've lowered the age to 25. So kids that ran out of the country that are between 25 and 27 and, well, older, are in foreign countries. And Poland and Lithuania said that they're getting ready to round you up, bring you home. You're going to be shot on the line. Damn shame. Hey, end of hour one. We'll be right back. We might talk about, Harvey Weinstein. That's an interesting kind of diversion, maybe. Be right back.
Intimate connection with the spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl. The tree of life is us, my friends.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.